Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Second City podcast. I am Callum Byrne, as always, joined by Dan Sketchley as well. Dan, how are you? Good week? Busy week? How are you feeling?
Yes, I'm good, thank you, mate. How's yourself? Keeping well?
Yeah, been pretty busy. Really busy. Work has been like the busiest it's ever been for me. So, yeah. It's been non-stop. And then obviously we had to rebook our Killers tickets in the
I know,
week.
Yes,
And
I know. We've had to reschedule. But we're still going, though. It's all good. We've worked it out. That's what friends are for. We worked it out. But yes, same more or less. Although I'm at the start of a few weeks off now. I had the last of my annual leave to use up, so that's quite nice. So that's all good. We were just talking about the new Dune movie as well. We're both big fans. Strong recommend from us too for the new Dune. If football's
but
it's worth
paying a bit extra for the nice seats. It's a long movie, so make
yes,
sure you're
it
comfortable.
is. Yeah, for sure. See it on like the biggest screen, loudest cinema. Definitely, it's that kind of movie. If you're not into that, if you'd rather go see it in like a little indie cinema, just go see it because you know it's definitely worth seeing. Cool. Busy one this week because it was a double game week for both of us, wasn't it?
And we're heading into another one as well.
Yeah, it's
So
just
it's
typical,
the
really.
Double, 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 double game week.
Yeah, and then
Episode.
It's an international break, I think. So we all have a slight respite there. I mean, you had a big week because you were in Europe and in the league, and then we had two league games. And as we'll get into, all of a sudden, just have so much to play for. All of a sudden, it's getting a bit messy now. But we'll get onto all that later, and we'll obviously preview the two games coming up for each of our teams later on. Shall we start, as we always do, though, with what we're wearing, Kel?
Yeah, absolutely. We've both gone slightly retro by the looks of things.
Yeah.
It's the Deodora gang, isn't it?
So nice coincidence. For context, we never, obviously, we do guess, and it's a legitimate guess. We have no idea what the other one is going to wear.
If we're doing like a themed episode, we'll try and line the kits up. And
true,
then there's
true,
usually an indication. But yeah, I don't think I had any money on you wearing a Deodora kit today.
No, not at all. Do you want to guess mine first then?
Yeah, I'll go for you.
Very interesting. I'll just prefix it. Very interesting that you said retro because it'll scare you when I say the year. You said retro.
Yeah, but I said, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I think about our ones, but like, when was the last time Deodora made a kit? But we'll find out, I guess. But what's the sponsor on that? Because that is a relatively modern sponsor.
I feel like we had these. I feel like we had them and then didn't have them and then had them again. I don't know if that's correct. Yeah, it is because the RS Sash kit has this sponsor, doesn't it? But they weren't. We had another one in between, at least another one.
Yeah, because Deodora, as I was saying, Deodora would imply that it's relatively far back, but it looks like quite a modern kit. So I'm feeling like it's in like the era of the X-Tep and then the Carbrini, but maybe before you went to Adidas. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting. So
for anyone listening, it's like a Deodora is like a sort of a collar, slightly darker collar. It's obviously a home shirt. Easy Group is the sponsor. It's got like
a white, like not pinstripe, but it's like a where the shoulder panel meets like the chest and back panel.
It's like
the
a white,
white
strip.
We're gonna go for 14-15 home.
Yeah, it's a little bit off. 12-13 home. This is 2012 home. This is, so this was Lee Clark's first season as Blues manager. So the year before would have been the year under Chris Hughton, where we were in Europe and when we finished in the playoffs and then got knocked out by Blackpool. My memory of this season is not so old. I would have been about 15 at the time. My memories of it aren't great. I think, though, a lot of it is... Well, so we finished 12th, which obviously now would be like... You know, if we finished 12th this season, that'd be really great. So I think that's not really great, but it'd be a lot better. I think it was very much the year before we were in Europe and we finished like 4th and we had all this excitement of possibly getting promoted. And then before that, we'd obviously won the Cup and been in the Premier League. And before that, we'd finished... We finished 2nd in the Championship a couple of years before that. So it was kind of the first... It was, up to this point, it was the lowest I'd ever seen us... actually finish in the table. Like, I'd never seen us finish this low before in the pyramid, really. So I remember at the time it felt really disappointing and it always felt like Lee Clark was under pressure. And I think the effects of the ownership situation, kind of year by year, we were seeing it and like a gradual decline and good players leaving. And I remember for a lot of this season, it just felt like a step down on the previous season, which it was. But again, it's all kind of relative to expectations because, again, if we had a season like this next season, it would be a really good season. But I'll ring on a few memories. It wasn't all bad. I'll start with the bad stuff. I remember we lost 5-0 to Barnsley this season, which was a huge shock. Barnsley at home beat us 5-0, which is absolutely crazy early on in the season. What was the striker's name? Is it Craig Davis? Not to be confused with Craig David. Craig Davis, I think his name was. He scored a hat-trick against us, which was outrageous. I remember we lost 3-2 to Wolves at home. Wolves actually did the double over us, and they ended up getting relegated that year. So that was obviously not amazing. We lost 4-0 at home to Watford. We had a mad game away at Derby where we lost 3-2, but we equalised to make it 1-1 really late on, and then it was 2-1 to them, 2-2, 3-2. There was like loads of goals in the last few minutes. That was a real sucker punch, I remember. And I remember so around New Year, I think we were like 20th or 21st. And so we were having a really poor season up to that point. But then in the new year, we kind of kicked on. And by the end of March, we were sort of about 10th and actually not too far off playoffs. We'd actually gone on a really good run. And Clark had seemed to kind of work things out a little bit. But some of the good memories from that season, I remember we had a great game against Middlesbrough at home, which I think was on a Friday night. And we won 3-2. I remember Wade Elliott scored a wicked, I think it was a volley. And I remember we had a great game against Millwall where we were 3-0 down away. Might have been 3-0 down at half time. And we ended up drawing 3-3. I remember that was just like a really epic comeback. So yeah, it's kind of disappointing on the whole, but there was some good stuff. Jack Butland had his season with us this year, so he came through. Nathan Redmond was still with us, had a really good season this season. I think we signed players like Paul Robinson, Paul Caddis, and actually Ravel Morrison was with us this season as well. So that was obviously interesting. He kind of still had like a big future ahead of him at that point. So yeah, that was this season. As far as the kit goes, I really like the kit actually. I haven't kind of seen it again. It's been a long time since I actually saw what it looked like in person. But yeah, it's actually really nice. The collar actually, maybe a little bit ahead of its time. It kind of came back into fashion a few years later. Like that. Yeah, a real grower actually. I remember at the time not being enamored with it, but I do actually really like it now.
I genuinely think if you like that was your kit next year, everyone would be like, modern classic.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, a bit ahead of its time, you could say. It's kind of a nice mix of retro, and that's probably why you say it was retro. It maybe looks a bit older than it is, but kind of modern at the same time. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's almost like, again, modern classic, but like you had a shirt a couple of years, the one where you had that Peaky Blinders video for it.
Yes.
That's the sort of blue on the collar, isn't it? So it's something else that was sort of a bit further in the future.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. Yeah, good shot. So yeah, that's 2012 home. Yeah.
What do you think of this?
You're wearing a Diodora. It's a black, clearly
all black number with a collar as well, but it's got no button. It's just like folded over.
And the sponsor is that
NTL.
I think that it's got to be early 2000s.
I have worn the home shirt of this
already
on the pod. So...
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what year it was. I'm going to say that's 2001, 2 away.
Oh, you're so close. It's 2000/2001 away shirt. So very, very close. Again, I don't really remember this season because we were 3 at the time. So, but we were under John Gregory at the time. We finished 8th in the Premier League. So a pretty respectable finish for us. We didn't really go anywhere in any of the cups, the 4th round of the FA Cup, the 3rd round of the League Cup. Our top goal scorer was Dion Dublin with only 8 goals in the Premier League. So I'd say just a relatively average season, but a decent one nonetheless. You know, a top half Premier League finish, I don't think you can really complain. We did also get to the semi-finals of the Intertoto Cup, Dan, as I'm sure you'll be thrilled to know.
But I
guess the some of the more famous things that happened maybe in the shirt is obviously we signed a couple of players that would go on to be sort of cult heroes, which are Thomas Hitzlsperger and the one and only Juan Pablo Angel. So those were the years that they joined. This was the year they joined Villa. But the shirt, Lovely. It's almost all black. You can't really go too wrong with it, really. A recent one into the collection. It was quite stained. I got it quite cheap. It's quite a rare shirt to find. And it had like loads of like almost paint, white paint on the back of it. And so I've had to like really scrub at it. And the sponsor is a bit damaged because it's quite old.
Sure.
But you wouldn't know now. You wouldn't know
No,
it was coming.
no.
Yeah.
Fair enough. No,
Yeah.
fair enough. I was gonna ask, was it one you bought or one of your dad's or?
Nah, one that I bought, but classic, a bargain from Classic Football Shirts. Who would have thought it?
Yeah, fair enough. Good investment if you can get a good deal on them for sure. Should we get on to the games?
I'd rather not. Should we just go home now?
I'd rather not as well, actually.
Yeah.
Sound nice one.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks
We'll
for
see you next week.
listening. See you next week.
No,
No.
before we do jump in to the games that happened, remember, if you're on YouTube or if you're on Apple Podcasts and you're not interested in one side but you are interested in the other, there are timestamps so you can jump around. But stick for the ride anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Shall we go chronologically and rattle through the
Yes.
first two games and then maybe talk a bit deeper about the two games that happened at the weekend?
Yeah, of course. So we played first, right? We played on
Yes,
Tuesday.
you played
So,
Hull on Tuesday.
for context as well, this is being recorded before Blues have played Middlesbrough. That's on Tuesday night at St Andrews at Knighthead Park, as they call it now. So, yeah, a bit of context there. Obviously, we haven't seen that game yet. So, I'll try not to spend too long talking about Blues because obviously that may have changed the context of things a bit. But whilst we're here, I will, of course, give my thoughts on the Hull and the Millwall games. Yeah, so we played Hull away on Tuesday, last Tuesday. We drew 1-1. Hull are sixth in the league currently. They're having a good season, although they are tailing off a little bit now. But definitely, Liam Rossini's got a good thing going there, especially when you remember they actually got relegated in absolutely humiliating fashion only 3 or 4 seasons ago. So for them to be back at where they are, it's the club that
Yeah.
club has come quite a way. Yes, we drew 1-1, and it was an eight. So Jukovic came on in the 80th minute, I think, and Pritchard came on 81st. Pritchard came on a little bit before that, I think, but 81st minute, Pritchard, wicked ball in, Juki header. I love it. That's why we do it. That's like, as long as Juki is scoring headers for Blues, I will be somewhat happy. It was just rolled back the years, which proves he's still got something to offer us. And yeah, wicked header, old school Duke. I remember Bowyer saying when he came in as manager, he said, just put good crosses in the box for Duke and he'll score goals. So it's kind of strange that Bowyer stopped doing it himself after a bit. But yeah, it was just old school, awesome. Really, really good goal and a good point away from home. And I said on the pod last week, I thought we'd draw at Hull and that would be a point gained. It is a point gained, but I don't know if you've seen Hull's goal, Cal. It's one of the most scandalous
Yeah,
not even goals, handball goals. It's not
it's
quite
bad, isn't
Maradona 86, but it's
it?
not far off. So the ball comes in from a corner, and Ozan Tufan of Hull quite unsubtly just sort of throws his body into it, and his arm, it's kind of like, if those watching, is that that part of his arm, like the upper outside
The
of his arm,
t-shirt line.
the t-shirt line, just knocks it in with his arm. That's one thing, right? Obviously, he's not going to go and turn around and be like, "Oh, that was a handball." So it's bad. It's bad that he's done that. It's
Yeah.
bad. And then he has the cheek. I can almost respect it though. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Whatever. Let's fight back. He had the cheek. I don't hate the guy for it, but he had the cheek. Have you seen his celebration? He had the cheek to run off and cup his ears, weirdly doing it to his
Yeah.
own to his own fans, which doesn't really make any sense. For that, Ozan Tufan, you're in the Second City Pod Hall of Shame. That is like, that is disgrace. Like, that's like, you're in my bad books now. That really pissed me off, I gotta say. Like, to
Yeah.
it's like you've scored an overhead kick, dude, or like a the other Maradona. You didn't score the second Maradona at 86 goal. You scored the first one.
Yeah.
It's a talentless, cheeky handball that everyone in the world saw was a handball except the officials. And then you had the cheek to like gloat about it to your own fans
Yeah.
because you're an idiot. You didn't do it in front of the away end. But anyway, we fought our way back into it,
I was going to
1-1.
say that it was a story of like handballs impacting you. That
Yes.
one went against you, But the baggies did one which helped you.
That is true. Yeah, the next night, Kiprae, is it? West Brom?
Something like that, yeah.
Saved a goal basically by palming it over the crossbar. It reminded me of do you remember a player called Muzzy Izzet used to play for Blues like 20 years ago? He had one. I think we were playing Everton at home. Was it Everton? I think it was someone like it's Premier League anyway. And he was quite a small fella, and someone like shot. It might have been a young Rooney actually shot, and Muzzy Izzet like literally jumped and like two handed like palmed it over the bar because he had no other choice, and he obviously got a straight red for it.
Yeah, I remember Phil Neville doing it in the Merseyside derby.
It was like that. Yeah, it was that level. Who's the other one? Who's the player who kept doing it and kept getting in trouble for it?
I remember Steve Cook did it in
Steve Cook,
2019-2020 season. He did it for Bournemouth against Norwich. Got caught by VAR, obviously, and was sent off. But then he was on the pitch for QPR the other night and was moaning afterwards.
Was he?
It's a disgrace that the ref did.
He did it.
He might have done it for Forest as well.
Yeah, exactly, because he did it for Bournemouth. That mad one when he like, because he was kind of lying down almost, wasn't he? And he reached up to like knock it to save it. And then I swear he did something really similar like a year later.
I'm sure he did it for Forest.
Yeah, that might be it. Yeah, he's got a reputation, Steve Cook. But anyway, 1-1.
Yeah.
Not a bad point. So that was our midweek. Should we move on to, you then played Thursday, if you want to cover that one.
Do you want to do three-word review grade?
Oh, sorry, yeah. Sorry, I'm so unprepared. three-word review, away point gained. Not two drops. It was a point gained.
Yeah.
I didn't like see the game. I had it on WM. I'm going to say Pritchard and Duke changed the game with that. But the defence, sounded like the defence did a good job as well. I will say, been really solid recently. I say Cody Drama, man of the match, actually. I've been really impressed with him. Really like him. That's kind of just on behalf of the back four. I'll give him my man of the match. And my grade, I give a solid, solid B. That's a good result. So yeah, that's Holloway. Will be more of you. But then you played on Thursday night because you were playing in Europe, your big European tie against Ireland.
It was indeed, yeah. I dragged our friend all the way to the pub in Chiswick to go and watch it. Full of Liverpool fans.
Oh, dear.
And there was just a couple, it was just me and him huddled around the one telly watching Villa versus Ajax.
He wasn't in his Arsenal shirt, was he?
No, he wasn't. No. He wasn't impressed by the end of the game that I dragged him to watch a really, really sure. boring 0-0.
Well, we went to stay at his house once, like a group of us a few years ago. And we watched on the Sky Sports red button, we watched
Blues
versus Barnsley. And Alvaro Jimenez scored, I remember. I think Duke scored a header in that game as well, actually. It's 2-0, is the worst, but it, Callum can vouch.
It was awful.
The worst dreadful game you'll ever say. It was so bad. But yeah, anyway.
I mean, my three-word review will be away goal rule. And I'll grade it a C. It wasn't a very good game, but I say away goal rule because, as someone who was a big fan of the away goals rule, and now it's gone, and because obviously we don't need it, and all you see it across a lot of the European ties now, teams don't feel the need in the first leg if they're away from home, especially, to really go for it. You know, we were very happy to maybe play a bit more defensively, make sure we didn't lose the game, and if we could nick a goal, great, but we didn't really go for it. We had a couple of chances. We ran our luck out a couple of times, which is why I've only graded it a C. It really, we looked a bit flat. We made five changes. We gave runouts to Rodgers and Irigabunum. So we were kind of just resting a few key players for the big game, which was on Sunday against Tottenham. But yeah, I was really annoyed, obviously, with the red card for Ezri Konsa. I don't know what he's doing. It's really dumb. He gives the referee a decision to make. I thought he fouled him. Obviously, the replays suggest he hasn't fouled him, but VAR can't overturn a second yellow. He's going to miss the home leg at Ajax. So that's a big loss. He's a big player for us. But you know, sometimes, as I'm sure we'll come to talk on a bit later, if you give the referee a decision to make, you might not like the outcome of it, really. And so it's really disappointing. But I'd have taken a draw before. I predicted a draw. And so to go to Villa Park now, get the place rocking, get the place bouncing, I really do think we can we can get the result to take us into the next round. But it isn't going to be easy. It is going to be a really difficult night, and I'm sure it'll be a very stressful night because we never do things the easy way, Dan. So yeah, that was the Ajax game, really. The really I can't I Man of the match. I genuinely can't really pick anyone. It was a nothing game. Nothing really happened. I'll probably give it to Emi Martinez. Made a couple of good saves, but there was no real standout performer. Well, Konsa was having a great game, and he would have been my man of the match, but then he got sent off, so I don't feel like I can give it to him. So, I'll give it to Emi Martinez because he did keep us in the game. He made a couple of good saves, but yeah, that was it. So we predicted four draws last week, Dan. We had two in the first two, and it looked like we were set for a third.
Yeah, so far so good up to that point. Just on a side note, I think for you, I that's circumstance maybe. First of all, I agree the away goals rule should be brought back in. It's a great rule. I think a draw is annoyingly a good result. I think that it's certainly a better point, a better draw for you than it is for them.
The referee had a shocker and across the board, really. And a lot of teams will say, oh, the referee was so against us. But sometimes you do see it, referees play into the crowd. And that Ajax crowd were really good on Thursday night. And you could see that he was sort of playing into it a little bit. So to get a draw and get out of there is a good result. It's just a shame about the red card.
Cool. Should we move on to the weekend's games then?
Yeah.
Sweet. So we went first again because we were on Saturday, and we had a huge game away at Millwall on 3 o'clock on Saturday. A whole lot like a much better team. But Millwall have had Neil Harris go back in, who, on a side note, so he's managed three clubs this season now, and he's managed a club
Really?
in so he was, oh, where was it? I probably should have got and remember the names of the clubs better, but I wonder if he is the first manager ever in a single season to manage in the Championship, League One, and League Two.
There can't be many.
No,
Warnock's
because he.
probably done
Yeah, probably. Oh, he might be doing it
it.
very soon by the things left Aberdeen at the weekend. But yeah, they'd so since he they were on a dreadful run of form, but since he went back in there, they'd won two and drawn one of their last three games. And it's the Den, isn't it? Everyone knows it's a horrible place to go. Millwall, easily one of the nastiest places to go. They've got that reputation for a reason.
I don't think we won there at all when we were in the championship. We definitely lost twice. I can't remember the first season.
We used to always win there, and oh well, I mean, we won there last season, but on the whole, we don't seem to a lot all these days. This was really frustrating because it was nil nil until the 90th minute, and whilst it wouldn't have steered us clear of any trouble, obviously, I would have seen it as a point gained, and I said it's important just not to lose it. And then obviously 90th minute, Tanganga, pretty much free header in the 6 yard box. Mark Roberts is, I don't really know where he is. Like, I don't know, or I don't know who's meant to be picking him up. No one was. And yeah, it's just one of them. Jay Stansfield didn't really seem to have his shooting boots on based on what I saw. Not to scapegoat him though. Looked like he had some good chances, but earlier in the season he's probably bagging them. Or on another day he's bagging them. So really frustrating. We should have had a penalty, to be fair, but that's by the by. It's a really frustrating loss, and we always do this. We just put ourselves in. We're now, I know we've got a game in hand on most of the teams around us, but we're now a point clear of relegation with, only a couple of months of the season left. We are like right in this mix now. And this is the first time I've been really like, okay, we are right in the mix now. This is like, but the weird thing is, even though we're not in good form at the minute, this is all the damage of the mid-season, in my opinion.
Yes,
Like,
yeah, 100%. It's all the Rooney that Rooney era, isn't it?
Effectively not picking up points for 3 months, funnily enough, has screwed us. Because we're not playing well at the minute and we're not getting points. But not even that we're not playing that well, but we're not getting points anyway. But these last few games have been a really tough away game at Hull. At Hull, at Millwall, Southampton, Ipswich. They're really hard games. Losing to teams like Ipswich and Southampton aren't what relegate you.
Yeah.
It's the
Losing to
run.
Sheffield Wednesday, on the other hand.
And in the middle of the season, drawing at home to Rotherham, losing that crazy run of losses we had under Rooney, and that's where the damage has been done this season, and that's really frustrating. And we're now having to wriggle our way out of it, and it would be such a blues thing for us to do, to survive year after year after year with no hope under this awful ownership with bad players. And now it would be so us to have a takeover happen, have Tom Brady get on board, all this exciting stuff coming in the future, get some good players in. It would be so us to get relegated this year. You know, it'd be such like, we're on the brink of something great. You know, we're at the start of a really exciting journey. It would be so us to get relegated this year. So it is literally just get to the summer, and then I do think next season will be better if we can stay up now. But yeah, just can't take it for granted now. We've got a huge week coming up now against what we've got two games at home this week, which we'll get onto later. But yeah, such a nice thing to do. So my three-word review would be typical away day would be my three-word review. So we've only got a couple of months left of the season. We've got a handful of away games left. We've won three away games this season. In a 46-game season, that is appallingly bad. When you're away, that must be possibly the very worst away record in the league. I need to double-check that. But
Rotherham probably have a worse record.
Yeah, true. Rotherham have got like about 2 points, haven't they? Yeah. So that'd be right down there. If your away form is that bad, your home form has got to be exceptional. And our home form isn't exceptional. It's better, but it's not exceptional. So that's where the damage is getting done. So yeah, it's just such a nice thing to do. Huge week coming up. Typical to lose to a relegation rival. And the thing is, the teams around us are winning as well now. So we're up against it, but yeah, got a game in hand, got to keep positive. And I don't blame Venus. Obviously, he's not Mowbray. I don't fully agree with all of his decisions at the minute, but I don't think getting like an interim in is a good idea at all. We can't another interim, a more experienced manager. I've seen a few people say, I don't think that's the solution at all at the minute. But yeah, my three-word review would be typical away day. My grade... I mean, it's bad. We lost to like one of our relegation rivals, so I'll say like an E. I don't know. And then yeah, I kind of similar to you. I kind of can't really pick him out of the match just because it was a. I don't want to scapegoat anyone, but it was a failure all round, really. So so yeah, that was Millwall at the weekend. Leaves us 21st, so big times ahead. So yeah, that was our disappointing weekend. But the only thing that really cheered me up was the events at Villa Park on Sunday. I was working when the game was on, but I got a good chuckle every time I checked the score.
Yeah. Oh man, a really bad day. A really, really bad day across the board. Like I talked about how the Ajax game we were pretty flat and. We were really, really flat on Sunday. Since Unai Emery's come in, we've always played the same system. Every single game, doesn't matter who we played, Manchester City or Luton, we play, as I've said before, it's like a 4-4-2, but it's more like a 4-2 sitting, two attacking mids and two strikers. This is the first time we went away from that. Even when we've played with five defenders, we've always had like a Matty Cash or... and Alex Moreno playing as a winger rather than as a traditional back five. This is the first time we've ever gone to a proper back five. And I'm trying to think, I think the last time we played as a back five would have been when we played Southampton under Dean Smith just before the cup final. So we're talking like pretty much bang on 4 years ago. We have not played a back five under any other manager. Since then, so a new system against it just seemed like we were giving Tottenham a bit too much respect. We went into that game trying to be really defensive and maybe just play for a 0-0. And the first half, while we did have a few good spells, felt very much like we were in it to play for a 0-0. And that way we'd keep our 5-point advantage and it's in our own hands. It just didn't work. It just didn't work. And you find this when you, any team that does play with a five at the back, you can get swallowed up in midfield because you've lost that extra midfielder. We were seeing Pau Torres basically playing as like almost like a defensive mid at points. He was having to step up into that midfield, and it was just a bit messy. I thought we might change it at half time, but I think maybe because we'd had some really good spells in that first half, we didn't. And we were hit very quickly with two very quick fire goals, one from James Maddison and one from Brennan Johnson. The second one is criminal because it's all our own doing. Konsa gives the ball away by running down a blind alley, and then in a bit of a panic, just plays a hospital ball towards Youri Tielemans that doesn't go anywhere near him, and we just give the ball away. I understand we play out from the back, it will go wrong from time to time, and it will cost you the odd goal here and there, but the overall benefits are worth it. And this was one of those times, but it was just such a pivotal point in the game to concede a goal that was really bad. It happens. Okay, it is what it is. So 2-0 down all of a sudden, but it's 60 minutes. We make the changes, we go back to our 4-4-2. We can still save the game, we can still turn it around. And then John McGinn gets sent off. Personally, I don't think it's a red card.
That is ridiculous. I'm sorry.
I
Sorry, Kev.
understand, though, why the referee gives it. I don't think it's a red card. But like I said with the Konsa one earlier, you give the referee a decision to make. I think it just looks worse. It's one of those where it looks worse in real time. Like Adoghi gets straight back up, goes to fight McGinn, and then realizes, oh, I've just been clattered, and just falls over. I think the reaction of the Tottenham bench and players play into it. But it's really stupid. It's really cynical. And he isn't trying to play the ball. And it was coming. That sort of challenge had been coming because we were lacking intensity. We were so sluggish, so sloppy. There was a 5-minute period where John McGinn, because he is like a ball of energy, goes flying into tackles, goes chasing the ball down. And I think he'd gone flying into a tackle not too, like maybe minutes before, and won the ball just to try and get the crowd up, lift the players up. I kind of get what he was doing, but it was dumb and it was stupid. And why I say it's not a red card as well is if the referee gives a yellow, the VAR doesn't overturn it. And I think if the referee gives a yellow, you go, ah. I think, you know what? It's a blue, Dan. It's a blue card, Dan.
No, it's not. I get what you're saying to an extent. I don't agree with the VAR argument because that's saying that, oh, well, if VAR doesn't overturn it, then it's like that, you know, the VAR is a whole other discussion about
Yeah, it
when
is.
they
Yeah.
get things wrong. But I appreciate that you're at least saying that it's a stupid thing to do. Like,
Yeah.
I think, like, he can have
And in the
no.
wider context of it as well, we've still got half an hour to play. By going down to
Exactly.
10 men, game's gone.
I think it's absolutely a red card. I think it's reckless and silly, and I think he can have no excuse. But so I'm glad you acknowledge that though. Like, even if you don't think it's a red, he's only got himself to blame. We were
Yeah.
saying earlier, like, you know, you give the ref a decision to make, then
You're in the lap of the gods then. You don't know what they're going to do.
Exactly.
So it was bad enough that we basically threw this game away after 60 minutes, or however many it was, 65 minutes. Basically, in a space of 10 minutes, we let two goals in and we're down to 10 men. That challenge is violent conduct, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
Three
three games.
games, which is West Ham away, a place where we have not won at in like 10 years. Wolves at home, local. It's not, I hate using the word derby because it's not the
It's
derbies with the
locally
Blues, but it's a
like a
local
tiny bit.
rivalry and a club that we do struggle against and a team that is going to be fired up to really try and derail our season. And Manchester City away. We've got, and with the injury to Boubacar Kamara, he was our defensive midfielder alongside Douglas Luiz. And so we're now in a really difficult situation where we've got these three really tough games coming up. We either drop a Youri Tielemans into that defensive role, which he can play, but he hasn't really got the legs to play that role. He's been much better higher up in the pitch where we've put legs around him. Or we throw Tim Arigabunam really into the deep end. And yeah, he played at Ajax and he's done okay. He's not been spectacular by any means. And he's not been, he's probably not played anything higher than, let's be generous and say a 7, but it's probably more like a 6 out of 10. Three big games. You know, he was on loan at QPR last year. He's been injured for the first half of the year. He's a big, he's a sink or swim. Yeah.
Wonder what
But
you're
that's
made of.
why, yeah. So my three-word review will be must bounce back. It won't necessarily, it might define our season, it might not. We've had some bad results and some bad games through the year. You know, Newcastle at home, Legia away, Man United away, Chelsea in the FA Cup. We've had a knack of bouncing back from it and going on a bit of a run after those games. And we have the potential to do it again. You know, if we win on Thursday, this game will be forgotten about a bit. If we lose on Thursday, all of a sudden it is sort of panic stations. But I think it's important not to get too carried away. It was a bad, bad day. It was shit. We didn't play well. And the result, to get thumped 4-0 with two goals in stoppage time as well, was really poor. And the Zaniolo and Alex Moreno's attitude at it, as soon as we hit stoppage time and they give the ball away and they both stop running, and Zaniolo's like flinging his arms around and Moreno's like this. And like, chase after the bloody ball and try and win it back. I don't care if you chase back and clatter in and give a penalty away. Like, I'd rather you do that rather than just stand there with your hands on your hips going, like, that's for us in the stands to do, not for you on the pitch.
Completely.
If you know what I
Yeah.
mean.
100%.
Yeah, I'm get what's I grade it? I'm gonna grade it an F, and no one is having man of the match. It was that nobody played well. No, if we were doing player ratings, I don't think anybody gets above a five at most, really. Maybe that's harsh on someone like Emi, but I don't feel like he had a whole lot to do. Like, you
Yeah.
couldn't have done anything about the four goals, but you know, when you have four shots at you and they all go in, it's like there's not a lot really to say.
Sure.
Yeah, really bad. Let's just forget about it. Move on to the next one.
Does this make Spurs favourite for top four now? They've got a game in hand as well.
This is why I'm trying to stay calm. I said this on the podcast exactly a week ago that if we lost the game, it's not the end of the world because Spurs still have a game in hand. It's away at Chelsea. Chelsea love ruining Spurs' season. They obviously beat them in the return fixture. If it's a game that Chelsea turn up for, it's usually against Spurs. I'd always rather have the points on the board than the game in hand. And also, Spurs, while they are a good team, and when they turn it on like they did against us at points yesterday, and we couldn't live with them, they're a great team. They're not infallible, and they will not go unbeaten all the way to the end of the season. They will slip up two or three times. And both of us still have the top three to play. We've both got to play
Oh, wow.
Arsenal, Man City and Liverpool. And so that those could be the season defining games. Who can pick up the points in those games that might determine it? And also, if we finish fifth, that's still a great season. And
Yeah,
that is
like,
an amazing season. And it most likely will still bring Champions League football.
yeah,
So,
exactly. Oh.
there's, I understand. Yesterday when the game finished, I was in a foul mood, and I understand people being really annoyed and really angry and really disappointed because there was a lot of hype going into the game, and the game was flat and we got battered. But we still got like 10 games to go. We're still in a cup competition, which we're one of the favourites for, if especially if we beat Ajax on Thursday night. Enjoy it. Like, 2 years ago, we were being battered every week under Steven Gerrard. I'll take the odd thumping here and there and be fourth or fifth in the table come the end
You
of the
were in the
year.
championship 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
Like,
yeah, I think some people need to chill out a bit, but yeah.
yeah. You know,
No,
and
I agree.
I understand, like, immediately after the game being like,
Yeah, of course.
needing like an hour or two just to like forget about it. But look at where we are. What we've still had an amazing season, even if we don't finish fourth.
Yeah, completely. Completely. Cool. Should we move on to the coming week then? Because it's pretty relentless at the minute, the old
It
schedule.
is, yeah. The games keep on coming. So you're playing tomorrow night against Borough. So,
Yeah.
like I said last week as well, it's like I'd rather have the points in the bag rather than the game in hand. And you've been saying it's okay, we've got a game in hand. I've been there. I
Yeah.
know what it's like.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we've got Borough on Tuesday, yeah. So Michael Carrick's Borough. I think they're where are they in the league? I think they're about 10th or 11th. I think they're 11th.
Yeah,
They're probably not
they
going to get
are. 11th, 50 points. So
yeah, they're
11
probably
points
not going to get
clearing.
playoffs, although they're not too far off in points, but there's a lot of traffic, so I don't think they'll get there in the end. So I think that's a slight disappointment for them this year, probably. But they're
Yeah,
on
they've not been as good as they were last year, really.
they're on a
They had a
slight
terrible start to the year, didn't they?
exactly. They started poor, but they are on a bit of an uptick. They did us a favor, actually. They beat QPR away at the weekend, and then I think they beat Norwich before that. Yeah, I think they beat Norwich 3-1. I think we need. I can preview the two games in one just because they're close together, I think. Both at home. We got them on Tuesday, and then we got Watford on Saturday. And Watford actually just sacked their manager as well, finally,
Yeah.
after you cursed
Yeah,
him last week.
I cursed them last
Ismail,
week.
Valerian Ismail, after Callum said, Watford haven't sacked a manager this season. And
Maybe
2 days
maybe
later,
their ownership listened to the podcast and went, crap, we haven't sacked a
I
manager
like.
this year.
No,
They
and
needed the reminder.
so we live in a world where Tom Cleverley is the interim manager. They've had some weird interims, man. Hayden Mullins was their interim, who played for Blues in this kit, actually. Hayden Mullins was their interim for a bit as well.
Former Villa loanee Tom Cleverley.
Yeah, we need 4 points from these two games. Is my hot take.
Two home games as well.
Yeah, two home games. The last
Got
time we had
to.
two home games in a week was Blackburn and Sunderland, and we got 6 points, and that was great. Venus, I think, needs a win with him in the dugout as well as the main man, just to, put that to bed and make sure everyone's getting behind him. Watford aren't having a good season either, though, to be fair. I'm amazed it took them so long to sack their manager as well. They're not certainly not going to get playoffs. They're not going to go down either. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for this week. We're playing two teams that aren't fighting for their lives, and I think on sheer momentum, I think we may just about get what we need, and I think that'll be a springboard to us for a season as a whole, just about getting to where we need. But it's kind of ridiculous that we've made such a meal of it. Yeah, I think we'll beat Borough. I think the fact that that is the game in hand, I think, will just give us an extra 10%, and like the importance on it and so on. Night game hopefully means it's just got a bit extra
Get the
about it.
fireworks and the flame
Although
boxes out. Go, go, go.
they didn't do the
No.
fireworks against Southampton. That was a shame. The only other game this season I don't remember them doing the fireworks against was the Remembrance Day game. So I assumed that was why they didn't do it. But yes, there's no fireworks against Southampton. I was devastated.
I
I
wonder
understand it's expensive, but.
as the afternoons as well, though, like the 3 o'clock games,
Yeah.
it's a bit too light, but this is under the lights
Oh yeah.
midweek. Like we're gonna go to t I know for a fact we're gonna go fireworks and flame boxes crazy against
Oh yeah, I mean that's
Ajax.
Ajax though, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah, I think we'll just about beat Borough. I reckon it'll be 2-1 against Borough. And I think Stansfield will get them both. I think he'll bounce back from the weekend. He strikes me as that kind of player. I said how good he was against Southampton the other week. He strikes me as that kind of player to want to put it right. And then, yeah, I think back-to-back wins might be a bit ambitious, so we'll probably draw Watford off the back of that. So, yeah, they're my predictions for the week. 2-1 against Middlesbrough, 1-1 against Watford.
Yeah, I can tell you who's going to score for Middlesbrough. It'll be Finn Azaz, who was in the Aston Villa Academy, and
Okay.
I
Looking
think
forward to
so.
that.
Yeah, so there's your banker.
Yep, for sure. Put money on it.
Yeah,
Cool. You're playing
I'll do
Thursday, aren't
ours
you,
back to
again?
back as well then. Yeah, so obviously we've got Ajax again on Thursday, the second leg. I am hopeful. Our home form has really dropped off after it being like infallible for almost a year, where I think we've lost four of our last five in all competitions at home. So it's really important to sort of turn it around, especially after a really, really poor result at home on Sunday. I think the atmosphere will be really good. I think the club are going to go well, hell to leather with the, as I said, with the fireworks and the flamethrowers, and it could be another similar European game where it's slow and it's not high intensity. But I think it's important if the crowd can stay with the team and keep the energy, and Ajax against us, at least the way it came through the telly, they were loud and they were intimidating on the away team. They're intimidating on the referee. If we're on them and on the referee, you never know what's going to happen. And if good energy usually inspires a good home performance, regardless of the result. I'm all for booing Jordan Henderson. and getting on his back. But I feel like, can we do it when we're like 2-0 up? Like, because at the weekend, there was a lot of slander at James Maddison, all for it, but he scored in the second half after he was pelted in the first half. And all it does is it means that when they whip out the celebrations, they really go for it. And that just winds you up even more. So do it. If we go 2-0 up in the first 10 minutes, then then go for it. I do think Jordan Henderson will score. It's just such a Villa thing to do. So I'll say we'll win 2-1. It's a game I can kind of see it going to penalties, though. There's something in the back of my mind that just has a feeling that it could be a game that goes to penalties. I've only been to what I've seen us in two penalty shootouts. I've only been at one of them, which was in the Carabao Cup against Chelsea. I do not want to see us in a European penalty shootout.
The only game I think I've been to where there's been a penalty shootout, I've never seen one at a Blues game ever, I don't think. The only one was I swung a ticket to the Baggies Villa playoff semi-final a few years ago. I had a mate who was a Baggies fan who had a spare ticket last minute, so I went. And it's funny because of you and like all our mates who are Baggies and Villa fans, none of you went, and then I got a ticket for it last minute. And there was obviously that mad penalty shootout at the end of that game. Yeah, that's a fun fact there. But yeah.
But yeah, I'll say 2-1, but I've got a nagging feeling it could get to penalties, and God knows what'll happen then. So, obviously, we'll have no Ezri Konsa, but we will still have John McGinn for that game. So, I expect him to play every single minute of that. And then, in turn, we'll almost certainly go back to our formation of the 4-4-2. Carlos is back by the looks of things. Torres is back. Longley's back. So, at least we can then play some form of cash, probably Luka Dean, and then Torres with either a Longley or a Carlos. Just because we have all our centre backs fit again doesn't mean we all have to play them at once. So yeah, we'll see. And then we have West Ham on Sunday, the 2 o'clock, not on telly. We're back finally. It's been a while. As I said, it's a ground that we really don't do well at. We haven't won there in a long, long time. We only drew there last year. West Ham are having a weird year because they're quite high up in the table and they're doing reasonably well. At least they're playing on Thursday night as well, and they've got a really big game against Freiburg, I think, at home. But yeah, they've had some terrible results and they've been on a really crap run of form. Then they have a good win against Brentford and then they kind of lose again. And so it's hard to know what to expect. That is a real game that we could easily lose 2-0 or we could easily win 2-0. Like, it's a really tough one to call. So maybe that's all heading towards a draw, having said that. So I'll maybe go for another 1-1 in that one. I'm kind of glad the international break's coming around, and I'm hoping Jacob Ramsey will be fit for, if not the Ajax game, at least the West Ham game, because all of a sudden, bear in mind we haven't had him for most of the season. He's dropped out the team against Luton, and all of a sudden, like, strapped for options almost. So, Zaniolo isn't the answer, I don't think. Although, I want it to work, but I don't think it's going to. So, yeah, that's the week.
That's the week. And we will call it a day there. So, thank you so much for listening as always. We will be back next week, of course. And in the meantime, you can find us everywhere with the handle Second City Pod. That's 2ND City Pod. When I say everywhere, I mean like what do I mean? I mean Twitter, TikTok, YouTube.
Let's check out our Second City Story episodes. There is a YouTube playlist, or you can scroll through your podcasting app to find them. The thumbnails are they've all the people we talk about are in the thumbnails: Bruce, Hotter, McLeish, and Heskey. And yeah, I guess until next week, Dan, it's another big week for both of us. So
Yeah.
strap yourselves in. Let's keep the nerves down and up the Villa.
Shit on the Villa, keep right on, and see you next time.